Blog Talk Radio.
Confrontation with me.
Good afternoon, or good evening, that is, to all my Blog Talk listeners out there. I hope everyone is ready for school. Some places, school has already started. I know here we started last week. Well, I think this is the first week. I'm sorry. I think this is our first week, or was it last week? I can't remember. my child, that is grown. He's 26 years old, so he's not in any school. I know everyone was worried about with the economy and the recession and bad times that we've had in the last couple of 6-7 months now. But now we need to focus more on our children now. We need to make sure that we're able to buy school supplies, make sure that they're having good breakfasts in the morning and dinners at night, and making sure they're getting plenty of rest. Because that's the ingredients for a smart kid, a kid that needs to be alert in school. I know that's kind of off the cuff with what we're talking about when it comes to cheating, but I wanted to get that out. And this year, I hope parents set a goal for themselves and for their children so that your child gets the most out of school. And it's up to the parents to step in and to help out and to make things happen. Okay? I hope that little information helped you some there. Okay, tonight again, like I said before, we were going to discuss cheating. Oh, by the way, you can get a hold of me at 347-677-1749. And I've been doing this show for several months now, and I think I've had about one or two callers. That's terrible. Maybe I have to find another way to promote my show because I would love to hear from my listeners. I would love for people to call in to me and talk to me and tell me what I'm not saying, what I should be saying. It's kind of lonely out here. Sometimes I feel that way because it seems like I'm the only one out here talking. And I know people are listening when they get an opportunity. I know they not always have an opportunity to listen to me while I'm on the air, but they can always go back and listen to me later. Like I said, call in at 347-677-1749. Tonight we're going to discuss, I have several subjects I want to talk to you about. And I always try to also give credit to the people who wrote the articles. Like my first article is Cutting to the Chase on Cheating. And it's by Psychology Today, and Dr. Linda Young wrote the article. The second one, Does a Man Becomes Insecure If He's Cheating? And it's by InfidelityMan.com. My third one was Cope When We've Learned Your Spouse Is Unfaithful, How to Respond by Sherry and Bob Striftoff. A couple actually wrote that. Can a Marriage Survive an Affair? And this is from firstthingfirst.com. It's a family-oriented website. I thought I found some real good, interesting stuff when it comes to marriage. And I'll probably be pulling some things from that again. I would like to thank everyone again who can take time to listen. Please stay tuned to us. There's so much more we can talk about. And please feel free to contact me at the following websites and web pages and whatever emails. My email is sensible64@yahoo.com, icolor.com/ArzandaCherry. You can also get me on facebook.com/ThalitaMcCall. ChocolateBond59@yahoo is my other, excuse me, I'm sorry, not at Yahoo, that's at hotmail.com that you can email me. You can follow me on Twitter, which, to be honest with you, I don't be on it enough. But I would like for you guys to leave me comments. I get comments from time to time, but I would like for you guys to continually give me comments. And also, you know, you can catch me on blogtalkradio.com, Chocolate Lady 64 is my call name. And it's also the name of my show for right now until I change it up again. Okay? So, we're going to start on our first one, first subject, and it's called Cutting to the Chase on Cheating. And like I said, it's written by Dr. Linda Young. So So as you know, there were two more politicians that have been caught cheating on their wives. The latest round of how can they and what are they thinking? Questions was moved. Questions moved to cut to the chase on what causes infidelity. Most of us probably know that we are not inherently monogamous species, but the fact is so discerning that we downplay or deny the chasm that lies between endorsing a value of monogamy over 90% of us do and upholding it somewhere between 25% and 60% of us don't, according to various studies. My practice has taught me that there are just three necessary and sufficient conditions at the root of infidelity. Any story I have ever heard can be fully explained by yearning, entitlement, and supply. Yes, Y-E-S. Number one, yearning, desire. Nature, nurture, and the cheating partner's past and present relationships all contribute to yearning. Hormonally, we are not all created equal. Testosterone increases the gotta-have-it-now urge in both sexes. High T men feel more urgent and frequent sexual desire than low T women. 70 years old don't usually feel as horny as a 20-year-old. Neutral transmitters like dopamine contribute to thrill-seeking and risk-taking. Some of us naturally have higher levels than others, and drugs like ecstasy and cocaine amp up the dopamine system in our brains. Children who are deprived of unconditional, consistent love and affection from caregivers may develop a skin hunger or a hole in deprivation that no single partner seems good enough or loving enough to feel when they grow up. Children who are raised with harsh proscriptions against sex often desire the forbidden fruit. They may also become the most moralistic adults in an effort to keep their own yearnings at bay, which explains the hypocrisy we so often see among busted conservative religion and political leaders. It is probably not a coincidence that Utah has the highest number of internet searches of any state for the term hot girls. Committed adult relationships that have lost their luster or become barnacle with resentment also creates a breeding ground for feelings of deprivation. Deprivation increases yearning for something else, something more, something new, something better. Number two, entitlement, permission. At the moment of crossing the intimate boundary that a couple has agreed upon for assumed, whether sexual behavior, verbal or emotional, the cheating partner believes he or she deserves what is being experienced with the new partner. Whether it's a holding, a gaze 10 seconds too long, a drunken night with a stripper, feeling in love again, getting revenge, finding an understanding ear, fulfilling a kinky fantasy, or having hundreds of hookups, it comes down to the same key ingredients: giving oneself permission. Urges, upbringing, and unmet needs may be the engines that drive cheating, but what releases the brakes is a feeling of entitlement in the moment. In every case of infidelity, immediate gratification trumps long-term consequences at the moment the line is crossed. I never meant to hurt you, and I didn't mean it for it to happen. Is really about not meaning to ever get caught. Number three, supply, availability. If there is no opportunity to meet willing partners, strain can't happen. Celebrities, gorgeous people, and folks with power and status have greater access to willing partners. So do people who come into close physical or emotional contact with others for work or play, if availability suddenly rises, people who are used to having fewer choices may be ill-equipped to resist attractive others. Sometimes availability suddenly increases because an individual becomes more attractive, loses lots of weight, becomes wealthy or famous. Think John and Kate. Sometimes it increases because he or she enters a new environment that is likely a candy store. Homemakers get a new job that includes travel with mostly male coworkers. A poorly developed set of breaks and pent-up demand combines to open the floodgates. Just because we are predisposed to non-monogamy doesn't mean we can't uphold it. What it really comes down to is letting go of trying to have our cake and eat it too. Something will always be sacrificed. I'm all for whatever line of couple agrees to draw together, as long as they acknowledge that all three of the above factors must be addressed. If we are to move from yes to no on cheating, you can find resources in counseling relationships and infidelity. And you can find that at drlindayoung.com. She's got more information on that. So, we know there's a antonym called, yes, yearning, entitlement, and supply. Yearning is the desire. Entitlement means giving them the permission. And supply means availability, Y-E-S. Okay, and that's cutting to the chase on cheating from today, Psychology Today, and it's an article written by Linda Young, PhD, Dr. Linda Young. Okay, now this one is by, let me make sure I got that correct. Does a man become insecure if he is cheating? And this is an article that I found on infidelitymen.com. Now, this one says, and I know I do a lot of reading, and it's not because I haven't done my research, and I'd rather read before I actually, it's just that it's easier for me to find out what I want to say if I could read it, and you can understand it better, opposed to me just talking off the cuff, or just talking yap, yap, yap. Now, it says, all of us are a net sum of our experiences. In the case of the cheating man, this is no less the reality. His past experiences give him reason to feel insecure and fear rejection. As a way of defending against these emotions, he may seek out infidelity as a means for self-protection. The enemy within. Indifference usually exists only when there is abundance, as is often the case. A man that is cheating is not indifferent. He knows what he is doing. Most people want unconditional love from a relationship. But if a man is insecure, he will sabotage his chances of receiving this. He will assume any relationship is purely conditional on his virtue. Not wanting to be rejected, he will undermine the relationship in order to avoid scrutiny and actually push away his loved ones despite needing their reassurance. Infidelity is one way the chronically insecure can medicate their low self-esteem. But infidelity only perpetuates the insecurity, leaving the problem unresolved. Cheating men may have had particular experiences in their childhood that impact their behavior. The mind of a child is resilient. It creates defense mechanisms to handle insecurity. Eventually, these defenses are carried into adulthood. On a macro social scale, they are reflected in the values our society holds today through our laws, customs, and belief systems. Thus, we are not only a net sum of our experiences, but the legacy of those experiences, whether good or bad lives on. The need for control. Our level of insecurity in relationships is vitally dependent on the experiences we've had in past relationships. If these experiences have been negative, insecurity will run rampant. Feelings of jealousy or control often arise. Of course, most people are able to comprehend that it is virtually impossible, let alone unhealthy, to control another person. But the cheating man will resort to infidelity in order to deal with his inability to control the relationship to his desired level of satisfaction. Cheating gives a man a certain feeling of control that is otherwise void from his life. Rejection of any kind is the most common cause of insecurity. Even when engaged in an illicit affair, the cheating man insecurity survives the same fear of rejection is applied to the scarlet woman herself. Men actually become even more insecure when cheating. Infidelity leads to a vicious and self-perpetuating circle of insecurity. A man cheats because of insecurity and then resulting insecurities that infidelity itself will now become a future cause of rejection. Hello? 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 If the caller, can you please call back, please, for me? I'm sorry I missed your call. Hello? Whoever just called, can you please call back? I'm sorry. Okay. I am so sorry that I hung up. I think either I hung up on you or you hung up on your own. I'm very sorry for that. Let's see. Rejection of any kind is the most common cause of insecurity. Even when engaged in an illicit affair, the cheating man's insecurity survives, and the same fear of rejection is applied to the scarlet woman herself. Men actually become even more insecure when cheating. Infidelity leads to a vicious and self-perpetuating circle of insecurity. A man cheats because of insecurity, then resulting in insecurities that infidelity itself will now become a future cause of rejection. This is why a cheating man may seem confident 1 minute and reduced to tears the next. A lack of self-esteem is prerequisite for a man to cheat. He would not find the need to deceive his partner if he needed if he indeed held himself in high regard. If he valued himself, he would be able to be honest with his partner and move on if necessary. And this article came from infidelityman.com. Does a man become insecure if he is cheating? Okay. The next article I found on about.com and is written by Sherry and Bob Stridoff, and it's called Cope When You've Learned Your Spouse is Unfaithful, How to Respond. You just realized that your spouse has been unfaithful and cheated on you. The news of the infidelity has hit you like a ton of bricks. You have hoped that your marriage can survive your spouse cheating on you, but you still feel sick inside when you think about the affair. Here's what you can do to get beyond the hurt. Forgive your unfaithful spouse and save your marriage. Difficult and hard. Time required, a long time. Here's how. Number one, don't make any major decisions about ending your marriage now, just because your spouse has been unfaithful. This is the time to do some reflection on your marriage to see what other issues other than this infidelity needs to be recognized and dealt with. Number two, feelings are neither right or wrong. Accept that your feelings of rage, uncertainty, shock, agitation, fear, pain, depression, and confusion about having an unfaithful spouse are normal. Take care of yourself. It's number three. You may have some physical reactions to the infidelity, such as nausea, diarrhea, sleeping problems, too little or too much, shakiness, difficulty concentrating, and not wanting to eat or binge eating. Infidelity in a marriage, can a marriage survive a cheating spouse? Also by the same couple who wrote the previous article. Every time the media gives attention to the topic of infidelity and cheating spouses. Many couples internally ask the question of how they would cope with such a situation. Marriage can survive infidelity. Marriage can survive. It's not easy. It hurts. There will be probably anger, tears, depression. It will take time to heal. It will take a decision to trust again. It will take the cheater taking responsibility and not blaming his or her spouse for the affair. It will take courage. It will require commitment from both of you to save your marriage. We make these statements because our marriage did survive unfaithfulness. Our crisis happened in our 8th year of marriage, and the result was a real nasty, hurtful, and expensive divorce. A year and a half later, we remarried each other. We've now been married over 40 years. So, yes, we believe a marriage can survive an extramarital affair, but only if both partners are willing to acquire and use the communication skills necessary to make their marriage successful. And these are just some of the feelings, some of the feelings surrounding the marital infidelity. We have shame, guilt, blame, anger, hurt, disappointment, rage, embarrassment, forgiveness, jealousy, lust, resentment, denial, and mistrust. Keep in mind this one note. Some marriages should not be saved. Your marriage can survive this onslaught of feelings. However, some marriages are not meant to be saved. If the infidelity is one of the many symptoms of domestic or emotional abuse in your relationship, or if your spouse is a serial cheater, it may be time to throw in the towel. Okay, and that article came from About.com, and Sherry and Bob Streetoff, or Stridoff, the one who wrote that one. Okay. The next article I have, I'm going to repeat the number to call in if you want to call in. The number is 347-677-1749. I hate that I didn't get an opportunity to speak to the person who called in or answer any questions or comments that they have. Please, if you can, please try to call in again. Kind of caught me off guard that someone actually called me. I wasn't expecting it. But please, and I hope you're still listening, that you can still call me back at 347-677-1749. Okay, let's talk about this article came from First Things First, and like I said, it's an website that deals with family, couples, marriage, the whole nine yards. And it says, can a marriage survive an affair? Sally is happily married to her husband, Sam. She has always loved the outdoors, but Sam never really cared for it too much. He is into computers. Instead of nagging Sam about not being outside with her, Sally decided to join the local hiking club in order to meet her need to experience the great outdoors. The club met weekly to hike. Sally made lots of new friends. On hikes, they would talk about kids, spouse, etc. While Sally loves Sam, she has a love of the outdoors in common with these men and women. This is often how inappropriate relationships begin, said Dave Carter, licensed marriage and family therapist and the author of Torn Asunder, Recovery from an Extramarital Affair. People move from talking in generalities to more specific things like help me understand my spouse to even more private issues. This starts a gradual erosion of boundaries and often leads to an affair. You might be wondering how you know if you are involved in an inappropriate fling. If your heart races when you anticipate seeing this person, that is a definite sign that there is more to the story than a friendship, said Mr. Carter. If you have said or thought to yourself, if I weren't married, I would marry this person, that definitely puts the relationship in a different category. This is often when you see people acting like that, acting like they are drunk in love. If you suspect your spouse is having an affair, the best thing you can do, according to Mr. Carter, is ask him or her, be very direct. Are you emotionally or sexually involved with someone outside of our marriage? Very few people I've worked with over the years have gone out looking for an affair, said Mr. Carter. Most people literally fall into them. It is so exhilarating. He or she hates to leave it behind. You start to save conversational topics for their relationship that you don't share with your spouse. You used to share them, but now you save them for your friendship. You start nourishing the friendship and starving the marriage. Marriages often become so encumbered with life, kids, career, household responsibilities that the couples loses the loving feeling. That way you felt before you married. So the gaga feelings and the exhilaration of doing crazy things spontaneously are very appealing in these extramarital flings. The good news is there are huge numbers of marriages that don't just survive affairs. They are significantly better than they were before the affair. The key to a marriage surviving an affair lies in its good marital history. If 20% of the couple's history is simultaneously viewed as positive by both spouses, they have a better than 90% chance of making it. So it takes two. Both of you have to come to a point, and you have to think back on your relationship, what made it what it is today, or what made it what it was or what it is up until that point the cheating started. Common risk factors for affairs include, but not limited to, poor impulse control, a history of infidelity in the family, experienced an abusive or chronicle in conflicted past or had a promiscuous adolescence. Once it has been determined that a spouse has had an affair, there are four universal concepts you must go through to save a marriage. Forgiveness, rebuilding respect, building trust, and building love. Said Mr. Carter. If you don't rebuild respect, you will never have an appropriate love relationship. Even if you don't stay married, you still need to go through this process in order not to continue to pay the price of the affair in future relationships. That's what you call baggage. I know you heard of the song by Erykah Badu called Bag Lady. Everywhere she goes, she's got a big bag of crap she carries with her. Every relationship she gets into, she takes all that because she never resolved it from the last relationship or the previous relationship she had. That came to mind when I read that part. Mr. Carter encourages people to look at this situation like an alcoholic would look at getting sober. The person in the affair might want to cut back or keep it innocent, but they want to keep the relationship. It is a mood-altering experience. For restoration of the marriage, this is not possible. You have to leave the club, said Mr. Carter. You have to get out of the music group. You have to be very direct and cut off the relationship. There is a big difference in saying, we got to stop this, and don't ever call me again. If you find yourself in this situation as a couple, Mr. Carter recommends the following action steps. If you hear my dog barking, she barks at everything. Okay. Point one, don't try to go it alone. Find friends with experience. If you will be brave and share your talk with some friends, you will probably be amazed at the number of people who have been there. Point two. Nobody can work on two relationships at once. Stop the one and work through the marriage first. Number three, find a therapist who meets the following three criteria: structure for the recovery, a safe environment, and whose goal is to establish the marriage, not determine its future. Outcome studies would indicate that couples who have saved their marriage after infidelity report the highest satisfaction levels of their mutual history. With time, one can forgive without forgetting, trust can be rebuilt, respect can be restored, and love can be rekindled. Okay? And that's an article from firstthingsfirst.org. I advise you guys to visit these different areas where I found this information at, because I'm quite sure there's more. And like I said, I will be going back to this First Things First, because it's dealing with the family, it's dealing with couples, it's dealing with a lot of different subjects that can really help us, and we can get through and talk about them. Again, I'll say my number, and if anybody wants to call in and talk to me, please feel free to do it. My number is 347-677-1749. Now, I'm going to add a subject on that's part of my cheating segment that I found later on. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, this information right here comes from www.romanceclass.com. And it's saying, cheating and lying. I have cheated. Now what? Cheating is the result of other problems you need to deal with. According to this, I have been cheated on and I have cheated. Decision to tell isn't easy, especially when kids and lives have been built around a marriage over time. It's not just a dating relationship that ends after a few months. Life, plans, money, security, stability, and innocent children are involved. Should you tell? Shouldn't you? It depends on your situation and what kind of people you and your partner are. My best advice is that you need to deal with the real reasons you or your partner are looking outside your marriage. Cheating isn't the problem. It's the result of problems where one partner decides to play both sides of the fence to get what they want and are betting that it will work out for their favor, in their favor, which usually it doesn't. Can you work the real issues out? Give this serious thought. If not, get out of the relationship for those reasons. But if you stay and end your affair, the decision to tell is a most difficult one to make. It won't help you work out the real issues, but it also burns a hole you can't fill if you or your partner value transparency and honesty in a relationship. What do you value? Can you live with this partner and yourself knowing you didn't tell them? You have to carry the burden of your actions the rest of your life. So at least be honest with yourself. Very good advice. Oh, that's very good advice. Can't be honest with yourself. Who can you be honest with? Who can you be honest with? I'm really truly hoping these little articles, these are really helping you guys out. I know I keep getting tongue-tied reading all this. Just a second. Sorry, I need to wet my whistle a little bit there. Now, this article is by hubpages.com, and it says, why do women cheat in relationships? We always think it's the man's fault. We always say it's the man who's cheating. It's never the woman. But women cheat just as much as men do. The only thing with women, and people don't, I don't want to say people, but it has been said that women are better at cheating than men are. that women can play both sides of the fence and never get caught. So you tell me if that's true or not, but I've heard that it's true, that we are better at hiding and playing the role than men are. We can hold more secrets than men are, because men seem to always forget something, and it always gets them caught if you have a smart woman. If you have a smart woman, she knows. A woman knows. A woman knows. I mean, when you don't think, a woman knows. A woman knows. Intuition. And some women know and just are in denial. But one thing I knew when it happened to me, we weren't married. We were dating. And we always had a habit of saying to each other, do you like what that person looks like, or something like that. We played that little game. Well, it was this one little cute young lady. I didn't know at the time that she was a married woman. And I was teasing my boyfriend, and I said to him, I said, how about that? Would you mess with her? Just like our little game we play. And he didn't say anything, or he said no, I can't remember what it was. But something in my back of my mind told me to keep her face in the back of my mind. And believe it or not, because I had that woman's intuition, she was the very woman that my boyfriend fooled around with or cheated on me with. The same young lady. And you wouldn't believe how he got caught. I would have never even pushed the issue or even brought the issue up. At the time we both were stationed in Germany, and I went to the field. He had a job where he didn't go to the field. I had a job where I went to the field a lot. I supported the infantry units. And I came back. I think I came back earlier than I was supposed to. And I called him to let him know that I was back, and the first thing came out of his mouth to me was, there's some pictures on the table. Please don't mess with the pictures. I haven't had a chance to see them. So I'm thinking, okay, baby, I'm back. That should be more exciting than some pictures. And I was trying not to, you know, make it sound like I was very into, you know, okay, I won't mess with them. So when I hung up from him, I kept kind of walking around, you know, picking up stuff, putting things up, unpacking my bags and everything. And something kept saying to me, open up the envelope, open up the envelope. So I opened up the envelope, and Salita was very surprised. There were pictures of him and her in our apartment together, on the bed, on the couch, sitting across the bookshelf, standing in the kitchen. And I'm like, oh, no. I don't think I was shocked. I think I was more mad than shocked. I'm out in the field freezing my buns off, and my boyfriend's back here in our apartment having an extra affair. So when he came home, he was surprised at what he saw. I had my stuff packed, and I said, I'm leaving. But it didn't end there, because even with me leaving, that didn't mean he was wanting me to leave. You know what he told me his excuse was? He wanted to find out if he still had it, because he was in a relationship with me for so long. He wanted to know if he still could catch a girlfriend. Now, I could have handled that in a whole different way. I was young. I was immature. And I don't know if I cared that much about him. I had to, because I went back 3 times. So I had to care. And it was like I felt sorry for him mostly, and that's why I kept going back. But eventually we came to the point where it was not working, and we both went our separate ways. He never stopped the lying and the cheating, but I went on. I had to go and keep doing what I had to do. Did it affect me in my future relationships? Yes, it did. Did I carry it as a bag like the bag lady? Yeah, I did. I definitely did. Did I trust? No, I didn't trust. But I always felt like I needed to get them before they got me. And that did hurt me. But as I matured and understood what relationships really meant, that all changed. Getting back to our article, I'm sorry. I just had to tell you that because it just reminded me that cheating can happen in any relationship, no matter how close you are, and how do you handle it. Now, I don't know if he ever changed, but I knew I had to change. Okay. This article says, why do women cheat in relationships? Infidelity and extramarital affairs by women. Men are not the only ones who cheat on their partners. These days, more and more women are found to be guilty of cheating. Infidelity in relationships is increasing day by day. Every day, we read on newspapers about several crimes which have resulted from such relationships. Recently, I happened to see a magazine called Crime and Detective, which had a detailed account of such cases where the woman had an affair with father-in-law, son, neighbor, husband, friend, and so on. With increasing lie in relationship, love, increasing, I don't know whoever wrote this, with increasing live in relationship and extramarital affairs, marriages in our society today do not seem to mean nearly as much as they used to in the past. What may be the reason of a woman resorts to such an act? After some analysis on the subject, I came up with some reasons as to why a woman may cheat on her partner or husband. Women are emotional creatures. If the main reasons for men who cheat are physical, the reasons for women who indulge in such act are mostly emotional. Some of the reasons are loneliness, revenge, boredom, and self-esteem. Unsatisfactory relationships. There are women who get involved in extramarital relationships purely for sex. Majority of women who cheat on their partners are those who are involved in unsatisfactory or sexless relationships. When she sees that her partner is unable to satisfy her in bed or fulfill her whims and fancies, she looks for someone who could do that. If a woman is not receiving the attention she feels she deserves in a relationship, she may be tempted to seek the attention elsewhere and become involved in an affair. Loneliness. Many women get into relationships because she feels lonely. This is most likely to happen when the lady is a housewife and husband is working abroad, or the husband is a workaholic or who is in on tour for at least 15 days in a month. Instead of looking for a productive hobby to fill her time, she compensates for neglect or lack of attention from her man with the attention of other men. Revenge. Many women cheat because they want to take revenge on their husbands when their partner has cheated on them. This tit-for-tat action makes them run into the arms of another man. Many women see a cheating partner as a justification to have an affair of their own. Excitement. Several women turn to other men when their existing relationship has lost all the excitement which used to be there in the earlier stages. Boredom may also factor into why women cheat. Monotony and boredom in the present relationship makes some women want to find a solution in a brand new partner. Okay, let's see. Lack of self-esteem. When the woman feels that she is not getting the deserved amount of attention and admiration from her current partner, she feels insecure and ends up cheating to reaffirm to herself that she is still attractive and desirable. Love and romance. When women feel unloved, ignored, or taken for granted by their partner, she may stray. Women look for emotional security and light to be wined and dined, courted, and romanced. So when she is complimented by another man, she feels attracted to that person, too, and tries to rekindle the lost romance in her life through an affair. If another man starts to show care and concern to her, this will make them to engage in an outside affair. Money and power. Women tend to go on affairs with men who hold powerful positions in society and that are loaded with money and are willing to provide the material goods like that she feels that she's missing in her life. Genuine attraction or falling in love. The modern woman who manages both home and work efficiently comes across many males. It is not quite unlikely that they may find someone attractive or maybe even fall in love. Whoever said a married woman cannot fall in love? Lack of understanding and communication. There is a lot of reasons why women can cheat. It says, to sum it up, whatever the reasons for cheating are, I don't think any religion supports such an act. Moreover, it is not worth losing your family or health because of such act. So I got this from hubpages.com, Cheating Husband, Wives, Women, and Relationships. So I think those were very good articles. I hope you guys enjoyed the articles that I just read. Let's see. I want to talk about. Okay. Now, there was something I wanted to say, and I just forgot it just that quick. Oh, I know what it was. I have a friend of mine who is in the process of writing a book, and the name of the book is How Do You Like It? How Do You Like Your Love? And the title is also in Spanish, which, if I'm not mistaken, I'm hoping I'm saying this right. It's Te Gusta Tu Amor. Te Gusta Tu Amor. How Do You Like Your Love? And what it is 10 stories or fantasies, sexual oriented, for couples to put a little spring back in their step or a little fire back up under them to kindle the love. And some people won't talk about their fantasies, but I don't see anything wrong with it. Talk about your fantasies, not with just your friends, but the main person you need to talk about your fantasies to is to your wife or your husband. So the stories are written, and they're based on just different little cute little fantasies. And I think it's going to be a good book once because I'm in the process of helping her get it published and get it out, and I will be announcing it when it comes out and when we've gotten it on market to publish it. I mean, when we've gotten it to the publisher and getting it out. For some reason, I don't know what she thinks that I can get it published, but she's putting that all on me to make sure that I can get it published for her. I hope you enjoyed that song I played earlier. And I'm going to play it at the end, if you don't mind. It's Jennifer Hudson and Fantasia. And he's my man, or he's my only man. Can't remember the name of I'm His Only Woman. That's the name of the song. And I just so happened to downloaded it, and I liked the song. And I think it was very appropriate for this cheating segment. I'm going to try to find some more songs and add them in as we go. Like I said before, the next segment won't be till September the 3rd, simply because I will be out of town next week. And we will resume our conversation on cheating. This is a very hard subject to talk about because cheating is wide, it's broad, and it's hard to kind of pinpoint it into one little thing. So that's why I guess I'm bringing up all these different subjects. but I'm hoping you get the whole big picture. The big picture is I wish you wouldn't cheat. I wish you would learn to love your partner, and if you have problems, at least you guys can sit down and talk about them. Life is too short, and especially like one of the articles said, you have children in the midst, and you don't want to mess them up. And you don't want to make it hard for them because they're more important. To me, they're more important than anything else, is to know that they'll need you. So you need to keep everything together in order for the relationship to work for the children. And it's up to us as parents. It's up to us as a husband and wife to work together. And if you're a single woman, and I think I've said this before, if you're single, please keep in mind that your children need you. It's time for relationships after your children have gotten what they need out of you first. You know, the children didn't ask to come here. They've sacrificed a lot, you know, and you and they want you to know and to appreciate what they've done, you know, so they need your undivided attention. Again, if you want to email me, you can email me at the following, sensible64@yahoo.com, and Chocolate Bun, and it's CHOCOLATEBUNN 59@yahoo. You can follow me on Twitter, Selena McCall. You can also follow me here on Blog Talk Radio at Chocolate Lady, under Chocolate Lady 64. Icy Color, Arzanda Cherry, and you also can check me out on Facebook, / Selena McCall. To close this out, I'm going to play the song again for you, and I hope you enjoy it. And I want to say goodnight and thank you for listening, and I'm so sorry the caller that called in and I didn't get a chance to talk to you. I apologize, and thank you again, you guys. Good night and have a good weekend. Good night.
Your front door, ready to whoop your ass. But you know I'm too grown for that. I ain't got nothing else to say.